airs every Thursday at 5 on WEFT Community Radio, followed by See You at the Show, coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfabilly Freakout at 6 p.m., Freeform Music at 7 p.m., Roots, Rock, and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Get in Your Jammies at 10 p.m.
See You at the Show would like to recognize and acknowledge that we gather today on Indigenous land, taken through deception, coercion, violence, and genocide. We acknowledge that the continued displacement and oppression of Native people exists and honor their commitments to survival, identity, and the protection of our world. Welcome to See You at the Show. This is Eric Schacht, and I'm here in the WFT studios with Linda Evans. How are you doing today, Linda?
Good. It's a gloomy day, but we have lots of fun stuff coming up, so we have lots to talk about, and we were able to catch a show this week already, and we're in the middle of the Black Lives, Black Voices. Black Stories. Black Lives, Black Stories. I didn't have it all written down.
That's right. Black Lives, Black Words.
Words. That's it. Sorry.
Showcase by Coalescence Theater Project is the big thing that it is currently, has already been open going into today. And man, we have so much stuff coming up in the next 2 to 3 weeks. There's almost like literally a dozen shows you could see.
Right. We have so much. But this weekend is manageable. So you have no excuse not to check out the Coalescence and other things we've got coming up.
Wow. And we love the Coalescence Theater Project, and they are continuing to do more and more good things. And we had the opportunity to do a great interview about this act, this show, and here we go.
Okay, now we're joined by Latrell Bright and Selena Trujillo, who are part of the Black Lives, Black Words showcase being put on by Coalescence Theater Project. Welcome to See You at the Show. Latrell, welcome back. And Selena, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Good to be here.
Even though we've had you on multiple times, Latrell, can you give us a little bit of your background and what project?
Sure. So I'm a storyteller, theater, directing plays and musicals and devising new pieces. I teach at the university and I direct in the community. But ultimately, the foundation of that is storyteller. And I've been watching Coalescence from afar for a while. I have attended a couple of their online performances, and I really love their mission and their commitment to new work and to works by folks of color, folks on the margin. So when the opportunity came up, I said yes, and here we are.
Yeah, we're big fans of Coalescence too. Anyone who listens to the show has heard us talk about them. And I like, while online theater wasn't my first favorite, I like to be in person. I like how their shows being online makes it more accessible for people from all over to come in, collaborate on a project. So both of you are in CU, but were the other people on the project kind of from all over, or were you?
So I think Karina is in Bloomington, Illinois. But it was really just the three of us. It was a two-hander, this particular 10-minute play.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us a little bit about, it's a 10-minute play?
Mm-hmm. And it's called the Human Resources. What is the gist
of the story? Yes, it is. Oh, goodness, Human Resources. A young Black woman trying to figure out how to make it up the corporate ladder and getting, slapped down that corporate ladder and being looked over and passed over by other people. And I think the core of it the most interesting part of our conversations was how we don't want things to be about race all the time, mm-hmm. even when we know they're about race, mm-hmm. and trying to say, maybe it could be this, or maybe it could be this, or maybe it could be this, and all the lies we tell. And so I love Selena's character. She's just there as truth teller. It's just like, she's there to like be the audience. Like the audience is like, you know what? This is what it is. If this is what it is, if this is what it is. So in, he touches on a lot of different stuff of overwork and youth and a little bit of ageism in reverse, and is everything about race and what we give to the corporation. It's the new plantation, the rickety corporate ladder of, you know, progress and exploitation being passed over, the excuses we make, not wanting to be that Black person, the tough love friend, this idea of what security is. It's a lot in 10 minutes.
That's a lot packed into 10 minutes. That's exactly what I was
saying. Latrell, I want to set that to a beat, because that was like a freestyle. I heard a couple rhymes in there. That was really good. And maybe Parker can do that for us. Right? I got goosebumps though, Latrell.
So Latrell, did Coalescence come to you and say, hey, do you want to direct this? Or did you say, I want to be a part of this? What can I do? How did you get involved?
I think they contacted Lisa Dixon, and Lisa was busy and passed it on to me. And it took me a while to, I haven't been reaching out to anybody to add more work on my plate.
Right.
So it took me a couple of weeks to just kind of come to the conclusion that to make space for a 10-minute play with Coalescence was something that I needed to make space for. Mm-hmm. So I did. And when I did, that's when it just kind of took off there. But I didn't reach out to them. They kind of circumnavigated the globe. And,
and did you get to choose which one you directed, or did you?
No, by the time I made my choice, I think, I think Human Resources was the one that Catherine Brown had really kind of was still looking for a director for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And it's so interesting. And this is just an aside. One of my students in my African-American theater class right now was in a reading of a Chris Eli Black play recently. And so she sent me the script saying, oh, you got to know this playwright. And I was like, oh, I'm directing this 10-minute play by this playwright. So
yes. I love it when things like that happen. It's like meant to be.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like what it felt like to us when we saw that you were doing a Coalescence play, because we've been for years fans of you since Men in Boats and Elephant Graveyard and all the other great things you've directed. And then now we've been on the Coalescence train, and then suddenly we see Latrell Bright with Coalescence. And I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. So we can't wait to see this.
Go ahead.
You're going to segue into Selena.
I was also. So Selena, this is your second project with Coalescence.
Yes, it is. I kind of got roped into my first project with them just last month because my son was working on their Theater for Youth production Back Cover, which highlights the tragedy of 9/11. And, you know, just as a supportive mom, I sent an email and was like, hey, you know, because we're from afar, right? We're not in Bloomington. He wasn't really connected with that community. So I was like, you know, if there's any way I can support or stuff I need to do to kind of help him stay on track, let me know. And they were like, well, actually, we could really use someone to come in and play this part. I was like, oh, no. That's not what I meant at all. But it was fabulous working with them. It was such a great, as a first time actor, working with Coalescence. I love the mission and their commitment to telling diverse stories. And so it seemed like a great fit, a great way to support my own son. And then so when this project came up, I actually missed the audition. You know, I was again going to audition with my son and send in the self-tape and all that stuff. And life just got too busy with other things that were going on. But Don reached out to me with this particular play and with this particular part. And he's like, we really think that you'd be perfect for this. And I was like, well, how am I going to say no to that? Like, if you think so, then sure, it's worth giving it a shot. And so it was kind of serendipitous, though, the timing of things, because then I got to meet Latrell at Station Theater when we did the reading. When I did a reading there for the Hispanic Heritage Month, Station Theater hosted a Latinx play reading. And so again, it was kind of like an easy segue into me kind of doing this theater thing that previously had literally given me nightmares. And so just doing a reading, and the plays again were amazing. Latrell was right there in the front row, and we got to meet after the readings. I was like, oh, this is so great. Just everything is kind of falling into place to have this be like a really great project that I was looking forward to. So it was fabulous. I really appreciated the opportunity to be part of Coalescence again.
Yeah, well, I'm big fans of both of you, and I'm so excited, Selena, that you're getting into acting in the theater scene. I, you know, you're just an amazing person in our community, and so I'm glad that you're going to be part of the theater too. And you're really so fortunate to have Latrell as a director. She's amazing.
Oh my gosh! I mean, that became apparent, you know, as soon as I met her. But then when we sat down, kind of, you know, for the first readings, I kind of wish we recorded the first reading that we did together, and then the last take that we did it all in one take. And she was like, "I think we could use that whole thing." And just feeling like the amount of development that I had within that 1 week of, you know, between our first reading and the final recording, I was like, this woman is a miracle worker if she can elicit that kind of growth within someone who's really new to this theater world, to the acting world. I was really proud of myself, but really I was like, you know, it's really a test to the miracle working that Latrell can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's amazing. And so it's just so exciting for me personally to have both of you on a project, and I can't wait to see it. I'm so sad that I missed it last weekend. Life has been crazy, but we have another weekend to see it. And it's, since it's online, you can watch it from the comfort of your own home, and it's kind of a pay as you can deal. Mm-hmm. And you can watch it more than once. And so it's really exciting.
When are the dates that it's going to be showing this weekend? Do you have that, Latrell?
Do I have that?
I have it right in front of me. I was throwing you a bone. So.
You were throwing me a bone. I don't know what to do with bones. I need them. October 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 29th, 30th, and 31st at 7:30 p.m.
Right.
And so Coalescence Theater Project has a website, Facebook page, and you can also come to see you at the show website and Facebook page for that specific information and for links to getting tickets, etc. And how many shows are there in the showcase?
I believe there are 10 10-minute plays.
I thought there were five.
There are five?
Between
five. But I think, oh no, that's another project. That's a whole other project that I'm, I'm getting the different projects mixed up. Yeah.
So is there another Coalescence project in the works that you guys are working on?
Oh no, not that I'm working on. It's a whole other thing.
Okay, it does look like there's five. There's Unprecedented, which is directed by Kenya Jackson, Human Resources. Oh, these are the playwrights.
Yeah, these are the playwrights.
Okay, and so Human Resources, which is by Chris Eli Black. My voice goes, you pickle.
No Justice by Kenesha Lynn Morgan and Dana Hall. And A Single Effing Retweet. That sounds really interesting. By Iman Von Jones.
Mm-hmm. And Non-Negotiables by Cameron Baker.
Yeah, they all sound really interesting. And I really like the idea of 10-minute plays. I think we need to do more of those. And especially, I mean, we talked to Dawn about Black Lives, Black Words Showcase a while ago before it was even, like, before he knew who was directing and stuff like that. So this has kind of been a long time coming for us. I'm really excited. And I'm excited to see Latrell and Selena, you guys doing more stuff in the community. So let us know as things come up for you, whether they're with U of I or different community groups. And we'd love to have you on the show again.
So Selena, you've taken these baby steps in with readings and online plays, short plays. So are you ready for some in-person stuff, COVID permitting?
I'm not positive. I feel like it's definitely been the baby steps I've appreciated, and lots of handholding. I remember, you know, just when we had talked in passing earlier that, you know, the nerves might not ever go away. And it wasn't until after I recorded, you know, and I, you know, went downstairs and visited with my family, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't get nervous that time. Like, I wasn't nervous at all. And so again, it was kind of this like miraculous thing. I was like, maybe this is all right. Maybe I'll be able to do that. But honestly, the literal nightmares that I had was about being on stage and forgetting my lines, which isn't an issue when you're recording in general. So, but you know, maybe that is my next step. Certainly when I'm surrounded by this community has been fabulous. The working with Coalescence, doing the reading at Station, I think when we have kind of genuine people that are really wanting to tell these kind of unheard stories, like I'm willing to do a lot, even scary things, if, you know, if it's involving having voices being heard that aren't normally heard.
Well, yeah, and the key seems to be, if you're waffling, we'll have Don Chandro give you a call and tell you that you'd be great at it. And that happened to me once when I did an audition, and then a director called and said that I'd be perfect. And I was like, well, okay then.
Right.
Now that ego is properly stoked.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's do it. But the nerves thing, it is kind of like what Mr. Bennett said to Mrs. Bennett in Pride and Prejudice, like, your nerves are my old friend. And I mean, I think it's part of getting to do it. It's part, those nerves are exciting nerves.
Yeah.
I think it is making friends with that part of it, because it doesn't really go away. It's just whether that becomes part of the rush, and then if you have a story also, I think that's what you were saying, is you need to be by having purpose in what you're doing. And that's what we just want so much to be, so much more a part of what this community theater in our area is about. It's not just about, you know, getting to go see shows that people have already seen, and we're seeing the same people do them in maybe a slightly different way. Let's really flip this around and do some good stuff. And you are both good stuff makers. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on See You at the Show. We can't wait to tune in and see Human Resources as part of Black Lives, Black Words Showcase by Coalescence Theater Project. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 7:30 p.m. And more information is on our Facebook. But Selena and Latrell, thank you so much for joining us and See You at the Show.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Linda.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
All right. So hopefully you got those dates. And if you didn't get those dates and showtimes, you can always check us out on Facebook. Just See You at the Show. But we also have revamped our website at seeyouattheshow.com. We have tabs of everything that's now playing with dates and links, how to get tickets. We have a page for all the audition material of everything that's going on in the next couple months, maybe all the way through February, at least that's been announced. We have review archives. We have other sorts of theatrical resources. And if you have something that you feel we should add, of course, let us know. Facebook Messenger, email Eric at See You at the Show, or track us down by any of the means that are out there.
Yeah, we had to create a whole calendar for ourselves. So we're doing this for ourselves as well as for all of our listeners. It's just going to be a crazy month. So
we really
had to figure it all out.
I know. And when we were playing throughout COVID, we played occasionally anniversary shows going back into the archives. And I remember when we played there was a February frenzy right before COVID, where you could actually in one weekend see five shows. And it was crazy. I challenged everybody to do it. We did it. And now suddenly when we're putting this together, we're like, oh my God, I think we got that beat.
Right.
On November 6th, if somebody is, you know, so inclined, or not so inclined, there's no way to see all six in one day.
Right.
But you could have six live theater things to choose from on November 6th.
I mean, it helps
6th.
That we're going farther than CU now. We're including Bloomington Normal and Danville and Decatur and Peoria even. So that helps.
Yes.
But also, it also means that theater's back, people.
We aren't the only people who are going all around Central Illinois for theater. The actors in the community are going all around for theater. We've seen actors from CU Theater as far as Peoria, and now we have actors from the area that I've acted with going to Monticello. We've been to Bloomington. We've been to Danville. We've been to Decatur. We've been to Danville a lot.
Yeah, Danville's continued to do theater a lot through all
yes.
this. In fact, this weekend, so I was just trying to figure out even when I'm going to be able to to listen, I mean, to watch the Coalescence show, I think it might have to wait until Sunday. If we watch it together, I can watch it on Friday, but you've got a cabaret at Central Friday night.
Right. Central High School, instead of doing a musical this fall, is doing a cabaret of various musical acts. And that's going to be at Centennial at 7 o'clock on Friday night.
It's Central, but it's at Centennial.
Yeah.
Right.
There's massive renovations going on to the theater at Central High School. I was just in there in the halls today, and so much is the same from when I went there a lot of decades ago. But also so much is amazingly different. And from what I've seen of the pictures of the theater, that's going to be a place to see shows.
And then Saturday, I'm going to be at Scary Stories at the Station Theater. I think doors open at 7, so you can see there's going to be some artwork that's available to look at. And then the actual show starts at 7:30, and so I'm going to be there. You can also catch that Scary Stories at the Station at 2 o'clock on Sunday. It's just a special Halloween little short poems or monologues and things like that. So you only get two chances to see that. And then we stopped in Danville to check out Playing with Fire, Frankenstein show, and that was, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so we did get to preview Playing with Fire after Frankenstein, which was put on by Red Mask Players. We've gotten to see a couple Red Mask shows. They did a Charles Manson You Are Perfect show at the Catherine Randolph Theater. I think that was probably last fall, or was that this spring?
I am so losing track of time.
That marked our first, I think, return to indoor theater.
Right. That was the first thing
we saw. Because I remember we spent a lot of our show, and a lot of attention at that time was, what are the precautions going to be? What is going on? And they did a pretty good job with giving us the opportunity to distance ourselves with seating and having a mask requirement, having no food available during intermission. And now, you know, one of the things that I haven't really seen as we've gone through these, all of these shows that we're promoting and that we have information about on our Facebook page, is I'm not seeing a whole lot of explicit wording about what's required of people with masking and whether there's vaccinations required by the cast or the audience, even.
Right. Some are saying things, but most of them, it doesn't spell it out. I believe we stayed masked during the preview of Playing with Fire. The cast was not masked. And you were going to read your review?
Yeah, I've got a review put together in its rough draft stage, and it's not so long, so I'm just going to read it. It's an excellent show. A parody of a god chasing the parody of the ideal man. That quote from The Creature to his creator, Victor Frankenstein, happens late in this magical play, but in many ways it encapsulates the essence of the sequel to Mary Shelley's 200-plus-year-old masterpiece. Red Mask Players and director Jamie Cusant have delivered this philosophical whirlwind with stripped-down elegance on a simple but stunning set in the intimate confines of the Catherine Randolph Theater in Danville. The parody of God is Frankenstein. In his ego and brilliance, he dared to create, however irresponsible or reckless that creation would prove to be. Now, in his dying days, he needs to examine the creation, whether out of scientific curiosity, guilt, remorse, or love. That's left up to the audience to decide. Frankenstein is played with intense desperation and despair by Richard Lee Bridgman, while the younger version of himself, shown through interwoven memories and referred to as Victor, is played by Brandon Moore. Moore was last seen by us as raving Charles Manson in You Are Perfect, and he has the complicated task of showing us a younger, less burdened, more innocent man motivated by curiosity and brilliance. And Moore does this well and gradually shows us a nuanced progression so that we can see the building towards Bridgman's tormented, aged Frankenstein. Bridgman's commitment to character is reminiscent of Will Arnett's I can't even pronounce it when I see it written. Joe Bluth from Arrested Development. He's theatrical, arrogant, but tormented, and the inability he's tormented by the inability of his magnificence to be realized. In fact, the book of Job is very on point with this imagination of the lives of both the man and the creature. The critical role of the creature, who is the parody of the ideal man, was given to a theatrical novice, Justin Smith. Yet you will not believe this is Smith's first stage appearance, as he has so much command over the complex vocal and physical emotions and expressions playing this iconic role requires. Delivering his lines with a heavy breath style, when Smith explains how he has stayed alive through so much hardship, as he says, "Life, though only an accumulation of cruelties, is dear to me. You will be moved beyond belief." All of the costuming was on point, but the makeup on the creature and the younger version of him, played skillfully by Isaiah Easton, was compelling and realistic. Don't miss this chance to dive deep into thought and see skilled actors tell a brilliantly conceived final chapter to an iconic saga. You'll find yourself contemplating contemporary issues of artificial intelligence and whether a thing can exist, but if it can, what the boundaries are for it and the responsibilities we have in creating it. Congratulations to Red Mask and all involved with this incredible show. Yeah. So all in all, that's I rave about it. I enjoyed it. It was probably a little over 2 hours with a 15-minute intermission, but it went fast, and the set was magnificent.
The set is because it's supposed to be like the top of the world. It's supposed to be. There's not a lot of color in it, but there's a lot of attention to detail, and you really feel like you're there. And I was really impressed with some of the things they did with the set, and they just kind of created this on their own. So that kudos to everybody.
Yeah, and that Murphy bed of the canonical doctor's table that right. Frankenstein rises from, pulled out from what I thought was just an ice sculpture, basically.
Right.
Yeah, I was pretty awed. So congratulations to everybody. I thought the costumes were great. The scene was great. Sound was really good. I still want to talk with Jamie. Oh. Jamie, if you're listening, shoot us a message. We don't understand the gunshots and the screaming.
Well, we have some questions. I mean, we understand some of it, but we do have some questions.
Yeah. So.
But that reminds me, there's a warning that there are gunshots. So, and they just kind of come out of nowhere. So they'll startle you once in a while if you're not ready.
And it was a little bit of a shock to see the opening scene involving a prop gun being right. aimed at somebody's head.
Right. After what happened on the set of Rust, film.
Obviously, this was very clearly a prop gun. Right. So it was a 150-year-old little, toy revolver, basically. But it still was there in front of us. And but not a show that's inappropriate for kids. I mean, it's a pretty deep show. But I think it's relatable and just job well done. So go out and see Playing with Fire, After Frankenstein by the Red Mask Players in Danville, just 28 minutes, unless you get delayed and rerouted by traffic or hit a deer.
Deer's okay, I'm pretty sure. And my car's okay.
Yes. But in any case.
So watch out for deer.
And if keep on driving.
I guess.
Just don't.
And you have 2 weekends to check that out.
Yeah, I mean, that runs through November 7th.
Right.
And then we also have the only thing you mentioned, Scary Stories, and the only other thing opening up this week is Pipe Dreams Studio is opening Grace and the Ghost in Decatur.
Which looks really interesting.
Pipe Dreams has done some great stuff. You've got 2 weekends to see that show, pdtheater.org. And we will talk more about that next week. And we're also going to have interviews with the director and actors from Death and Taxes, which opens at Monticello on November 6th. We also have She Kills Monsters at Parkland and Human Terrain at Heartland in Bloomington, Heather's at Urbana High School, Elf the Musical by the Community Players in Bloomington, and more and more.
And there's auditions coming up, so check out our website.
Out our website. We've got a tab of auditions. Nothing is imminent, but you might want to get ready.
Raisin
in the Sun, November 8th and 9th, and spread the word. Thanks for listening to See You at the Show. Thanks for supporting local theater. And coming up next is Surfability Freakout. Here you go.
You are listening to WEFT Champagne 90.1 FM. This has been the WEFT Courier for Thursday. Join us for the WEFT Courier every weekday for